Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. This is your host Chris here with Ro and Brandon, and we are here to review Hustlers, inspired by the viral New York Magazine article. Hustlers follows a crew of savvy former strippers, former strip club employees who band together to turn the tables on their Wall Street clients. It stars Constance Wu, Jennifer Lopez, Julia Stiles, who time is not doing her well at all.
She looks better in this than I've seen her in past roles, but she's aging like a depressed teacher.
True.
She's aging. Yeah. She's aging swiftly, which makes me think something has been on board and she has now stopped it, but it was too late.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that she's aging with that one of those is like, is that Julia Stiles? No, that can't be Julia Stiles. That is Julia Stiles. Oh my God.
I'm never confused when I see Julia Stiles. Every time I see her, I'm like, yep, that's definitely Julia Stiles.
It's a tooth. And... Yeah, but it's a tooth, isn't it? It's a tooth.
But now she looks like she's half a step away from a permanent ugly cry, and that didn't used to be true, so.
I don't know. Julia Stiles always looked like an abandoned Pokemon character to me in the face, so.
Oh, God.
I mean.
It's always a tooth. It's a tooth. It's the tooth. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
It's the whole mouth. What do you mean? She ain't got no lips, bro. That shit's scary sometimes. Like
it is how she holds her mouth. I feel really bad. We are being super judgy, but we ain't wrong. So
I thought you looked like a Mario mushroom in the face because you hold your mouth like that. Like she could be cute, but she choosing not to do it.
A Mario mushroom. Or as my one of my best friends said, she stopped hanging out with black people and you see what happened.
So, I don't know. Ooh, she was hanging out with a brother that wasn't all that black to begin with, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. All right, so let's jump into this movie. Brandon, I gotta tell you something. This is one of those things. I know there's that joke going around, that joke that says something about like if somebody talks about how there's a bear shitting in the woods and you've never seen it, but as soon as they start talking about it, you see it all the time. You brought up that fact that somebody said that
shit.
Yeah, you brought up the stuff that somebody said that Jennifer Lopez should be up for a best actress or a best supporting actress from this movie. And listen, I'm going to say right now, I believe this is probably one of the best roles she's done in a long time. We'll talk about how good she is in this movie. But I hadn't seen that until you said something about it. And then literally when I get home, I see the article talking about how she's in the running for best actress. And I just want to say this. I like this movie. I think Jennifer Lopez is really good in this film. Calm the fuck down. Calm the fuck down.
But there's no way they're trying to say that this role is better than other roles for either ensemble or lead actress so far.
Your shit
just because it's the
together.
Best she's done doesn't mean that it is award worthy.
It's not even Oscar worthy as a film.
It's not.
Period. It's not, and I've seen that buzz as well. And I don't know if critics have just never seen the inside of a magical strip club before, and the ass clapping that is done on screen in this film, which is extravagant, has confused and combobulated their minds to the point where they walked out of this film and were like, "Oh my God, those cheeks were Oscar worthy." I was watching this film and I'm like, "Yo, like." You know, J-Lo got down on the pole. That shit is great. Constance Wu, you know, she plays this character that they created very well. It's nice to see some other actresses that I haven't seen in a while. Cardi B is Cardi B. You know, Lizzo is Lizzo. I'm pretty sure that was G-Eazy or E-Z-G or whatever letter Easy he is. I guess that was him. And other than that, the story is what it is, but like, I'll let y'all go because I got other thoughts about this movie and just how it played out. And it's weird because I went and I did my research. I went and I read the article that this is based on. And then I read another article about the article this is based on. And I'm just kind of like, okay, bruh, this is interesting how this manifested itself. But
okay, cool. Look, as a movie of its type, picking a particular period, the early 2000s, I thought it looked well. I thought they picked well. I thought they did a more than serviceable job putting together one of the higher end strip clubs in New York. I think they needed a different consultant for the girls who did not know how to strip, but that's just me. But I've seen stories like this before, but then again, I watch a lot of movies that would fall into this purview, just like on TV when they do like the, you know, rip from the headlines made from a TV movie. And this is the second movie in a row from last year with the Rosamund Pike movie talking about the news correspondence to come out of one of these New Yorker articles that was a big deal and went viral. And I feel like they didn't just sensationalize the story. They felt like they needed to kind of make some kind of greater commentary than the fact that a bunch of very savvy women who worked in a strip club and saw that their revenue streams were compromised decided that instead of just going and doing the regular fishing that strippers do when they go to bars and stuff and clubs and pass out flyers, they were going to guarantee that their fish came back to the club with their card. And I'm like, you know, y'all made this real pretty, but this was a grimy ass operation. They committed grand larceny on a very nice scale, but they were still stupid about it. And I liked this movie. I liked it more than I thought I would. I thought it was a little too long. There was a couple of too many sequences where they needed to feel like the scene of meet my friend. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were some other areas where they could have given us a bit more depth and background. They could have better incorporated the club as a whole and what was going on in there to kind of, if they wanted to create the context. They did a lot of talk me through what they showed me instead of showing me and letting me draw conclusions from it. But the reason why you have to do that is because they were drifting away from some of the harder edges that existed on these women. And if you did research, you know, they did some very interesting revisionist narration.
Well,
but for movie wise, it was a cohesive story. I liked this ensemble. And I was pleasantly surprised. And I will say, I think this is the best that Jennifer Lopez has ever played and embodied a character. I don't know what that says about her, that, you know, this is her sweet spot. But bitch, put it down. She played the hell out of Ramona.
So a couple things. One, I think the thing about, I'm thinking about this with Jennifer Lopez in this role, and I think it's, Jennifer Lopez isn't somebody I think of when I think of a good actress, right? She's fine. She's serviceable in some things. I think that when you think of her best roles, it's things that fall. There are people who act, whose best acting is always because it falls in something they know. I'm not saying it falls into something she knows as a stripper, but there's a lot of, there's dancing in here, which she's very comfortable with. And I think that gives her a certain air of confidence that you see in this character of Ramona that she plays. Like, it's
she
nothing
knows
but
a hustle.
Right.
That's it's not bullshit. She knows a hustle.
Exactly. It's hustling and dancing. And I'm like, oh, that's just Jennifer Lopez being Jennifer Lopez. And so I think that, and I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to take anything away from her performance in this. I'm just saying that that's the sweet spot for her when it comes to movies, right? It's like, and again, that I think that's a credit to the director and the people that cast her. It's like, cast her for what she knows. Like, you cast her for something else, it's not going to work. But you cast her for this role, she's fine in it. Going back to the other thing you said, and again, I like this movie. I enjoy this movie. But I'll say this. I think my problem is that I don't think it was a cohesive story. And the reason why I say that is there's this whole thing between, so Constance Wu's character plays Destiny and Jennifer Lopez plays Ramona. There's this whole thing, like, mother-daughter relationship between the two of them, but it's Destiny kind of having this conversation with Julia Stiles' character, who's a New Yorker reporter. And I'll be honest, after seeing the whole entire movie, I, to this day, to this point, still don't understand why Destiny had such a attitude about Ramona going over. They never.
Oh,
really,
that's not the part that I meant about cohesive story. Right, I simply meant the scam, the big picture, right, not the character development, because that was lacking.
Right, and so there's this whole thing where, like, I'll be honest, I kind of sided with Ramona. And you're not supposed to, but I kind of sided with Ramona here because Ramona, she does some grimy stuff, but I'm like, in the end, she's always been who she said she is.
Destiny, but it's keep talking about interesting. Like, okay, so like, I wish you'd have read the article that this was written, that this was based on. I don't know if you did, or it doesn't sound like you did. And I wish you had, because, like, I see a film like this, and the first thing I thought after watching it was, okay, so this is based on an article. Like, I'll go read the article because, you know, there's some things missing. There's some story missing. There's some holes here. There's shit they do with money that makes absolutely no sense. And they do the whole narrative thing as far as explaining the money, but they never really explain the money. Like, they never really talk about it. They just show them having a shitload of money, and then they show them poor, and then they show them having a shitload of money again. And I'm like, there's a disconnect here with this film, and it felt like instead of Goodfellas, it was more like Good Stellas in the way it tried to present itself. So I was like, okay, I'll ride with this and see how this plays out, because it kept making it seem like Destiny's character, they were gonna like drop the other shoe at one point or do a twist. Exactly. And I was like, where are we going with this? So then it doesn't do that, right? It just doesn't do that. The story is what it is. It is what it presents itself as. And I'm like, that's so weird. So then I went and I read the article. And I was like, okay, I'll hopefully get more depth. You know what I realized? This movie is ripped straight from the article. It is it is exactly the article. Outside of them making very interesting changes to characters, the main change that I thought they made that was interesting was the way they presented Destiny in this film. They do present her as kind of just like naive and taking you under your wing on some very like coyote ugly type thing. Mm-hmm. And when I read the article, that person that you see Constance Wu playing when she's being interviewed by Julia Stiles, and she has this really snarky attitude, and you feel like she's not telling the truth, and you feel like there's holes, and that's what makes you think that there's a twist in here somewhere, or maybe you're looking for a point where they're going to go and talk to Jennifer Lopez, and you're going to get some information you didn't realize, and the narration might change. That didn't happen. And it doesn't really happen in the article either. And I was like, yo, what is the deal? But once I finished the article, I realized the actual Destiny, the real person, was it Rosalind Keo, or, you know, Rosie Keo or whatever, which, who was at TIFF getting pictures taken, you know, with the crew and everybody for this one, who is working on a book right now about this scenario, this situation as well, Sophisticated Hustlers or something like that, right? Which is also her Instagram. And I start reading this article, and I read her quotes, and the article is written from the perception of the interviewer and her perception of Destiny's character. And yo, this movie presents her as kind of innocent, but I feel like the movie missed the mark because she's actually kind of an asshole in this interview. Yeah. And she's super narcissistic, and you can tell she'd be lying to people. Like, she'd be on some one-upper type stuff. And if they would have presented this film as like, because they made it seem like J-Lo in the whole Goodfellas scenario is a mixture of Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. And Destiny is Ray Liotta's character. But that's not the case at all. In this actual story, both of these niggas is De Niro and Pesci from different angles. Destiny was just as intelligent and ruthless as Jennifer Lopez's character in the real story of this. And I was like, why didn't they tell that story?
Well, I didn't feel like you didn't get that from watching her in the interview. I really felt like they just failed to translate that into some of the flashback sequences. That I didn't feel like you didn't realize that the person who was narrating this and talking to Julia Roberts was recrafting history. That she was just as grimy and just as responsible. I mean, this isn't a spoiler. I think it's almost a direct lift where she was like, I was the CFO of my own MFN company.
Which is pulled straight from the article about it. They have so many quotes pulled directly from the article in this film. It's crazy.
Right. So my problem with this was because they pulled directly from the article, I think some of that ingenue and naivety that we got is simply because Constance Wu's face is just kind of amazing like that. So when they would do the flashbacks to when she was in the club versus to how she was supposed to have a heart slightly harsher, crisper edge, and her voice would kind of drop into that almost sociopath tone when she's talking about what exactly the scam was. And then you saw her in the back where it just felt like, I think it misplays a little, is like she's bitter over something that happened between her and her best friend, when what it just is she's a hard ass person.
Yeah, and I think that's, it comes off like that because there's a couple of times that work really well. It's like that time when she's looking at Julia Stiles' character. What was Julia Stiles' character's name? Elizabeth. She's looking at Elizabeth. She goes, are you making a big deal of the fact that we were drugging people? I mean, yeah, it was drugs, but, you know. And Julia Stiles' character is like horrified. Elizabeth's like horrified going like, you were drugging people? That's bad. So you get those moments when you kind of see it's like, okay, Destiny's not really a good person. But then, like, towards the back half of this movie, I keep waiting for the shoe to drop. I keep waiting for this big breakup between Ramona and Destiny off of the way they've been kind of presenting this character. And then it doesn't happen. And you're just like, what?
Did you guys? I feel like they rushed it. I feel for a story that they didn't need to add, like, all of the extra elements, because it's definitely weighted. And it could have dropped some pounds. Like, or better use some of its areas to better tell this story, because I feel like the scam portion of this is done almost in a montage type fashion, where that should have been the crux of most of the film.
So
I felt they wasted some of that. Like, I don't think it didn't feel montage-y to me, but mm-hmm. it felt like they let it get too repetitive because they didn't show you all the different ways that they were scamming people. They kind of just went
right.
consistently through.
That's
this
why I feel like it's montage-y, because yeah. they didn't go into it deep enough at all. They just kind of showed it happening repetitively over and over again, and it was
right.
Like,
but it's my understanding. It's my understanding that this crew had more than one hustle, and I think that
they had more than one club.
Well, yeah, not they didn't just have more than one club. They had more than one bar they were in, but they had more than one hustle. And I don't know if this is just, you know, my criminal tendencies and the fact that I know the statutes of limitations have not run on all the crimes that these ladies committed, that when she was talking to the reporter, I think the reporter's name is Jessica or some shit. When she was talking to her in the article about scores, one, she limited to one bar because that keeps it down from grand larceny. And at least one of those bars went over lines, which kept it from being federal. And two, she left out the scams that they did that were not necessarily rooted from bar directly to club or bar to an apartment or bar to a hotel, because they didn't disclose any of the damn hotels these heifers worked out of. And they ran right. hotels, too.
The film just... left that part out. Like, it just was, they kind of like, well, we had to move the hotels because of our clientele. And I'm reading the article, I'm like, that's not what she says in here.
That's the problem I have.
The second, like, when they expanded out beyond strippers,
right?
They recruited hookers. Recruited hoes. They had they were madams. So this whole idea that they want to run what they were robbing from the rich to enrich, you know, to keep themselves from being poor, that's part of where I felt like some of that is her crafting, but a lot of it is because the statute of limitations have not run on half the shit these girls did, and not on half.
And that's fine, but like, that's fine for the magazine article, but it's like, this is a fucking movie. So for that, you could as the screenwriter and the director, the screenwriter and director are the same, where the person who wrote the script is the same person who did the directing. She could have clearly filled in the blanks, and because there's blanks that you as an audience member are filling in, going like, I bet you these women are hookers. I bet you these women are sex workers. They're clearly pros. Come on, like, we know, but like, it was that piece, and it's just I don't know. It's there's so much they could have gone more with, at least movie wise, and they just don't.
They got
this interesting character. They didn't even get into the other two girls, like Lily Reinhart, whatever, and Kiki Palmer. They kind of just added them in.
But then they got the most time. Like, that's the thing.
And that was entertaining. Like, the comedy aspect of it was entertaining. But literally in the article, they keep talking about, they keep referencing Kiki Palmer's dude in prison. That nigga was pimping her. Like,
yeah.
The fact that you didn't disclose that in the film. Like, you didn't talk about that in the film. And then they end up becoming pimps themselves. There's a crazy film here that you could have made. This is a good film. This is an interesting film. And I think audiences will like it. But there could have been some Scorsese shit going on here that you could have played with. This could have easily been a 3-hour film that we would have been like, yo,
they hung up on wanting to do this whole, like, if this had been a crew of dudes, we would have got the grimy movie.
It's under 2 hours. It's under 2 hours. If this had been dudes, we would have gotten along. this is the same thing, and I'm comparing to this movie that we saw earlier, and I'm saying this is a way better film. I am not comparing quality. I am comparing just some of the things I think they mess up on. It reminded me a little bit of The Kitchen, where it's like, what is going on where you're leaving story on the table? Now, I'll give it to them in this movie. They do a better job with the actual actors, actresses they have, and the story they're telling. So it's way more entertaining than The Kitchen. It's a way better film than The Kitchen. Yep. However, if this could have clearly, and I sat through 2 hours and 29 fucking minutes of The Goldfinch, this movie could have been 2 hours and 29 minutes, and I would have been fine with it because there you need that time to perfectly tell this story. Because here's the thing, you guys mentioned Kiki Palmer's character in Not Brittany Murphy. What was her name? I'm sorry.
Wow.
But
you know, the same shit the whole time. I was like, oh my God, it's the new Brittany Murphy.
Right. Yeah, Lily Reinhardt. Yeah, but you know I'm right. You know, I saw her face.
No, that's absolutely Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, it's Brittany Murphy.
It really is, and I am excited for whatever else the hell she decides to do, because the girl can act, but
I miss Brittany Murphy. I really do, and so I was kind of excited. I was like, wait, did it? Brittany Murphy? Oh, okay, sorry. Anyway, but I'm got a little spoiler alert, but again, if you read the article, you'll probably know this. Lily Reinhardt's character, Annabelle, and then Kiki Palmer's character, Mercedes, they're the two that actually get the jail time. So I'm like, wait a minute. So you're watching this movie going, why did the two ringleaders not get jail time, but these two did? So clearly they did something else in there, but you never see it in the movie. And I'm like, this is why this movie should have been longer. Again, I enjoyed this movie. I think this is a good movie.
The way they worded what they did, and you're right, the film didn't. So the film didn't get any to the. So they didn't dive into the actual what happened with the investigation and the real sting operation and the court stuff and how that all played out, because that's interesting as well. And that's where you start mm-hmm. to more realize that Destiny is like, she's fucking ruthless, dog. Like, she acts like she's a victim in so many parts of this film. And that, you know, they had that scene where her and Ramona or Rhonda, whatever, get into it and it gets physical. But like, when I read the article, I was waiting for that part to come up. And I was like, that didn't come up. And I was like, you know why that didn't come up? Because when they went at each other for real, it was like two cobras going at each other.
That was a fight. That was a fight.
Yeah, it wasn't each other.
It wasn't dominant partner in the relationship, you know, reexerting their dominance over the, you know, disobedient one. That was a fight between equals. Destiny and Ramona were equals.
Yep.
And I can't say enough how much I enjoyed this movie. I thought the soundtrack was great. I liked the costuming, the mm-hmm. location use, everything. But they made so many safe decisions.
Safe is a good word. Safe is a really good word for this.
And it pissed me off because I don't know if Lorraine just felt like she couldn't get them to let her go. So she played it. But like, I was like, I kept waiting. I didn't so much wait for the turn. They kept opening this door and making me feel like they were going to show us
something
like when they, the sequence where Ramona and Jennifer Lopez's character, Ramona, and Constance Wu, who's playing Destiny, when they first meet, when they first bring Ramona out on stage and they have Destiny in the audience watching, and I know they did a little bit of that clip in the trailer. I was like, and they showed that out. I was like, okay, this sets a perfect tone for two like-minded people coming together. And they still kind of made it just a little bit more like the person who got the closest to looking, sounding, and eventually acting how people perceive or assume pimps act was Jennifer Lopez's character as Ramona.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, so much.
And I think that's one of the reasons why people are saying, oh, all this awards talk, because for them, this doesn't really feel a whole real natural. But for anybody who saw the footage from her last birthday party, I mean, you know, she literally was at home. She got to use her own mannerisms. She got to walk how she walks when she go back home. If there was ever actually really a Jenny on the block, she probably was a little closer to Ramona than people like to say.
I'll be honest. While I really enjoyed Jennifer Lopez in this movie,
she wasn't the most impressive one in the movie.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say I wasn't impressed with Constance Wu. They didn't use her. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't like the... It's not her fault. I want to say I don't like the direction they gave her. They gave her this direction as if... And again, maybe they were trying, and if they had done the switch, if they had come back like halfway through the movie, and then we had gotten like some stuff from like, if they had done it like Goodfellas, or we got in the position like, you one side you get to see Destiny's side, and on the other side you get to see Ramona's side, then I think it would have worked. Then you would have been able to see that, oh, wait, okay, she's not as naive as she's playing it. Instead, you had to basically infer it. You're like, wait a minute, why does she keep playing it like she's just this sweet, innocent girl who is just, oh, somehow she's now just, she's cooking up drugs in her apartment, and she's just, I'm like, but she's along for the ride. There was this big disconnect, and they never gave you the other side of, oh, no. She's fully into this shit. She's fully down for the shit. They kept going with this, you know, wide-eyed, innocent, and I think it was a disservice to Constance. I think she could have played the other side of it. She
Constance could have damn, you know, she could have played the one part when
right there.
And they had the moment too, like when they in the interview in the movie. There's one moment where she says, "Well, that's not what I heard." And Constance and Destiny's whole body language changes. Yeah, and she goes, mm-hmm. Oh, what do you want to know? And I was like, yes, yes, we're going to see the turn. And then they don't give it to you. And I was like, they want you to get this idea that there's so much more to this story. But because Constance, Destiny wouldn't share, they can't tell it to you. And everything from that point, I'm like, I'm looking at this bitch. I'm looking at this hard ass bitch. You're still living in a nice ass house.
Yo,
they never explain any of this either, which is why I need some information on the money. I need information on the money.
Because I know what happened to the money.
I don't know. I need to know watching the film. As a person watching the film,
right.
I need to know what the fuck happens.
But that's what I mean. It's still done by implication with one scene. It's done by implication with one scene. And it's a scene with Keke Palmer. Ramona's not in it. Destiny's not in it. Mercedes is in it. It's one fucking scene. And they never explore it. And they never show you the name of the building that she's in when they have that scene. But I know that damn building. And I was like, that's all you're going to give us? You're not going to tell us how their money went? You're not going to show how they managed to avoid RICO charges?
Mm-hmm.
This New York. Y'all ran this scam in New York. You trying to tell me nobody wanted to talk RICO at the end of the damn day? Bullshit. No one wanted to know how y'all had so much ketamine.
Bruh.
Can we talk about how you just seem to have MDMA on hand?
And I think that's the problem. It's like, And I'm beginning, after seeing the kitchen, seeing this, I'm beginning to wonder if it's not the film itself, and it's outside of the people, the close-knit people making the film, like the director and things like that, and start getting into studio execs and producers, things like that, because I feel like, if this was a film about men, I feel like we would have gotten all that stuff. Like I remember,
they'd have gone too far if it had been men.
Yeah, right. What was that Tom Cruise movie where he was the guy who flew drugs?
The pilot
he flew drugs, and like they went over. They'll give you like a quick 30-second scene. This is where we got the drugs from, and this is how we did this, and we knew this is the hotels where even if they made up fucking names, right? Or they would have played on the idea of, we can't tell you the name of this hotel because they'll get like they would have gone that way, and I feel like they do better with those scenes
in Lifetime fucking movies about hookers than they did in Hustle.
Right, and
they made up names for the girls. They did. I don't know why they switched the names up. From the article, I have no idea why they did it. Because when I was reading the article, I was so confused by who was who, and then they did a breakdown. It was like, well, they changed their name to this in the movie. I was like, but why?
And I think And I'm just beginning to wonder if, because this was something that plagued The Kitchen again. Kitchen was a worse film, but I also believe that was directed by a woman as well. And I'm beginning to wonder if they're not giving them the tools and the opportunity to tell the story they want. Like I'd really
honestly
love to see.
I think it's really simple. I think that to a certain extent, when these movies get pitched, they get pitched safely. Or at a midline, and then they start fighting for certain scenes, and then they end up losing, and then they start compromising on what they're going to manage to keep in the story. Because I firmly believe that once you get to a studio level, and I don't know why this is given how grimy these people are, they don't think people want to quote unquote see women like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing if you want to show the strippers and how it was in the clubs and how things changed, because they didn't have any problem deciding to show somebody two steps about throwing some money down, taking your clothes off, and possibly sucking a dick. They didn't have any problem with any of those scenes. But when it came to showing that they're not, this wasn't some, you know, desperate Robin Hood bullshit attempt, or it wasn't as a result of some, you know, trauma. They felt like, we're going to show that these two women took a hard look around and did some basic business calculations and said, there's money to be made here and we're not getting it. They are convinced that people don't want to see women like that.
Like the thing
it goes part and parcel to, and I personally think that a significant number of white women, because let's be real, it's white women getting these movies put in, or at least passing white women. You look white, they treat you like you're white women, and they don't go there because they don't think they'll get the money.
And maybe they're not wrong that they won't get the money. Like, I'm not even 100% sure that that's a wrong calculation, because they're probably not. And I just think that's sad, because again, I like this movie. I just think about how much better it could have been, or how much more story. Because I feel like there's just so much story that got left.
No,
either.
But you're right, though. It could have been better. Yeah. Like, it's nothing wrong with saying it's a good film and you enjoyed it, but it could have been better. It could have been better. It absolutely could have been better. And that Oscar talk would have been worthy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It would have been worth it. Like, we would have walked out like, because dog, there, this is a top runner.
There's a couple things that threw me out. One was when they all said, oh, what was the turn that made you guys break apart? And it was like, you just knew it was coming. Oh, there was that one guy that, you know, we took advantage of, and it was so, so sad and stuff like that. And I'm like, first
that's
of all,
bullshit.
I was like,
but that wasn't even him. It wasn't even him. I don't know why they did it. But
my thing is, just forgetting the article, right? Just from a movie point of view, I was like, that's bullshit. Like, I just said right immediately, I was like, that's bullshit. You're not all of a sudden having a heart. And again, I'd already been having this hard time believing that Constance Wu was this innocent person. Like, you've been drugging motherfuckers. Like, this whole idea of them. And again, I think it's just a small tweak if they were going to do that, of having somebody or having any of the other girls going, that's bullshit. Or somebody else calling her out on her bullshit, because at no point was she ever called out either. Like, I'll be honest, by the end of this movie, I'm Team Ramona, and I'm going, fuck Destiny. She's a piece of shit. Like, and
I was that early in the movie when she was looking at Ramona like she was a fucking ATM machine while she was on stage.
Right.
I was like, that's a grimy little bitch right there.
Right. And it's just,
but it's the way they shot it. They shot it like she was amazed by the talents of this woman and how she controlled the crowd, instead of shooting it from the perspective of, oh,
they just rained down thousands.
She got cash.
Yeah,
right. It's just they could have did little things to even everybody want to talk about how J-Lo, this could be like her Oscar run, which it won't be. But they could have easily did little stuff extra with her to make this movie, to one up this film. And like, when she has the conversations after they take the guys' cards and the guys are calling her up like, yo, what the fuck? They could have did a whole joint where they showed us how she really talked
that shit down.
And they don't do it. You know what? And you know why I think they don't do it? And I got to go back to the article, because this film is pulled so much from the article. I think the reason they didn't do it is because it's not, that stuff isn't in the article. The details aren't there. The depth isn't there.
I think you're right about that, because this movie is told from the perspective of Constance Wu's character, and everything else is filled in around that. And I think a major part of that has to do with the article, which raises the question of, if they were going to try to go, you know, truly based and inspired by, why didn't they put out the cash to get the other girls to sit down to talk to them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really missing here, and why you only get certain flashes. And I don't care. The flashes we got of Jennifer Lopez's character made me want to see more, because when she had to come up in the movie, I was like, I need this explained to me. There's something there. Y'all upped your game. You know, you started talking about, we need to recruit, we need to outsource, we need to do this. I was like, there's so much more going on here than what we're getting sold. And I would have loved it if they had given us a scene of them negotiating a deal with the club, or, you know, mm-hmm. if they had really showed how she coaxed her big spenders from back in the day back into her web. All of those things would have been great, but they would have needed that from someone other than Constant Wu's character, because if nothing else, this movie tells you that they may have been running buddies, but the Ramona woman did not teach at Rosie every damn thing she knew in real life. And
well, I'm reading this article right now, where I guess the Rosalind is Destiny in real life. She's like, I don't think I was a con woman. I was a business woman. I was just in the wrong business. No, bitch. You were a con woman. You were a con woman.
You were a criminal.
You were a criminal. And I think that perspective is what's wrong with the movie, is that it's way too safe towards her character. And honestly, it sounds like she's throwing every, like, just like the movie, she's throwing everyone else under the bus, going like, I was better than them other women. I wasn't a real criminal.
The whole article, Chris, the whole article, she is narcissistic as fuck, dog.
Right, and so
she,
I think
everybody's dumber than her through the whole article.
And she is still
convinced they would still be doing this if somebody who she was not personally responsible for recruiting into the crew had never been recruited.
Right, and that's my thing. So I started looking, I wanted to look up her name, and I was like, well, I'm assuming, because the way this movie works, I'm like, she's got to be an executive producer of this film, right? Because when something like this happens and we see a film that's so lopsided and is missing key points and is doing something to the detriment, I'm like, she's got to be an executive producer or something on this film, and she's not. And I'm like, so then I go back to the filmmaker. I go back to the director who also wrote it, Lorraine, and I'm like, so why the fuck did you not tell... the right, like, I get what Rosalind's doing. Like, that makes sense from her point of view. She's got to do that. Like you said, there might still be some charges out there.
She got to
do what she got to do. But from a movie point of view, you know, because even the way they wrote this film, you wrote her character, you wrote Destiny to be full of shit, and you can tell that she's full of shit. And so, like,
why didn't you finish it?
Again, it feels like the film is almost unfinished. Like, I feel like there's something you could have cut out, they should have shot more, but I really feel like this film should have been at least 2 hours, 2 hours and 15, to give the whole picture, but it feels like it's only told from Destiny's point of view, which honestly, the way they had her playing the character is the least interesting point of view, though. Like, that's not the thing. Yeah. She's the least interesting point of view character. Everybody else, Ramona, Kiki Palmer's character, Annabelle, all of them seem way more interesting, have all these other things going on in their lives that are way more interesting.
Tracy McGrath's character with the dude who kept showing up when she's trying to work. Right, I wanted that.
Right. No. Everybody else was way more interesting, but then they went with Constance. And again, I think that Constance Wu character was interesting, because then when you had her grandmother start talking about stuff, I'm like, okay, grandma's a little
I was with Jennifer Lopez in there. How is it we just now meeting? Right, well, Why are we just now getting more of you, grandma?
And that's my thing. It's like, because like at one point, I'm not going to lie, when you see what happened to grandmother, I'm like, wait, was grandmother on something? Was grandma? Like, I feel like there's so much other story to tell with Destiny's character, but I feel like this movie is protecting Destiny. And I think from a movie point of view, it hampers. Like, I feel like, I think that's what the problem I have with this film is, that it's a good film, people are going to enjoy it, but when you watch this film, you're going to feel like they left a lot of stuff on the table because they wrote this film from the point of view of Destiny, and then they wrote it to protect Destiny, which, honestly, when you see what they're doing in this film, that was dumb, because everybody here was scamming. And look, I'm cool with the scamming. I am. Y'all be criminals. It's fine. I'm not going to be one of them dudes to be like, oh, no, man, I can't get into it because women are scamming. Nah, fuck it. They scamming. And for the most part, they were scamming. Y'all can't,
this movie is equal opportunity across genders.
You right.
You I don't give a damn what the hell it
you
is.
You can't do the movie.
You are all going to be sitting here going, show me more. Tell me more.
You can't do this
Ain't
movie.
Ain't no way that's all y'all did.
Right. You can't do this movie and pretend like everybody wasn't criminals, because everybody involved here was criminals. Everybody involved
even
here
if
was
you
criminals.
Want, even if you want to play it like the one who's downplaying it, I didn't even really have a problem with that. The thing that got me about this movie is I really feel like I like the way that she directed it. I like the way that she made it look. I didn't like her narrative.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, the narrative is what killed her.
That's truly, honestly, the narrative, the whole narrative. She was fascinated with this. For her, this is one of these feminist empowerment, Robin Hood type gender swap, gender flip bullshit things. And I really feel like that's kind of the vehicle, and it's probably the pitch which she used to sell it. But she's not a hustler, because she could sell it, but then she couldn't follow through. So, like, you get to the parts where you really actually truly need to know certain things, and she didn't know them, and nobody who was talking to her was like, hey, yo, in the real world, XYZ would happen. And if you want this to work, people are going to know there's a hole here. And
so I'm not going to lie. The first time the Ramona... like, let's Destiny sit in her coat and they had that conversation. I was like, first of all, I'm going to be honest. First time meeting, I don't see that happening that way.
I do, but you needed a different context in order for it to make sense.
Well, exactly.
But they were trying to play it like Jennifer was recruiting Destiny. Ramona was recruiting Destiny. Like, she was already had this hard edge to her because, and I was like, no, that's not what was happening there. And it would have worked if they had wanted to play, the ingenue who gets corrupted. If they were really going to give us the corruption on the back end, it would have worked. But they wanted all the sharp edges and all the hard angles on Jennifer Lopez's character. But they didn't give us enough to make that first scene where they had them come together legitimate. So that's why it rings false to you, because that totally would have happened. But you need something else down the line to make what that introduction does make sense. And they never got it to us. And I hate to say it from as a woman saying this, with the way they played that scene, they needed just a little bit of what would have happened in another Diamonds Club from another movie. And that makes me real damn sad. And that's what makes me feel like the director was playing in these areas. Like, she didn't do much more research into certain aspects
at all,
in order for them to come off as authentic and legitimate. And the fact that it comes off as well as it does is a testament to the fact that Lily Reinhart, Jennifer Lopez, Constance Wu, Cardi B, Lizzo, Julia Stiles, Keke Palmer, Madeline Brewer, Tracy Lissette put this shit down and held it down from the tiniest role that they had to the big, huge, fleshed out ones, everything. They are the reason why this worked, because she's playing in these areas. She ain't gonna talk to anybody about exactly how a criminal enterprise worked. She barely talked to people about how a strip club worked.
But she went back on her shit later. Like, she was, I don't know what you're talking about. It was just being interviewed. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
As far as the story, I think we all pretty much agree that there is more story to this story, and we missing that story. From the way that it's shot, a cinematography perspective, I'll start off with this. First, the way they do the narration in the very beginning had some very belly feel to it, and I almost checked out, like, bro, I don't know, this is not done well. And then, and it is shot like somebody who might have been friends with Hype Williams at one point in certain aspects of it. And I think that can play to the films, I think that can play up to the film. And I think sometimes it plays down to the film when it's time to tell a cohesive story. I think when we're in the strip club, we get some really great shots. I think when we're kind of moving around and trying to show you what's going on in the logistics scene, then it's kind of like, okay, this is where you needed to slow down or switch your cinematographer, your director, or something, because they're not grasping the concept of what they're actually trying to show and what it's going to look like when it comes out. And that's fine. I think, like I said, I think everybody acted with what they were given. I think they did a really good job. I think the comedy is great. If you've never been to the strip club, I could definitely see this being something that entices you to go. I get there's a lot of good and there's a lot of entertaining here. You know, there are people that I thought might get on my nerves and they didn't get on my nerves. Pretty much it's just something I can see people enjoying. But yeah, man, like the story that is not here. Like, if they were like, we're going to do a part two, I was like, is it part two, Ramona?
Thinking about that. I was like, you could do this whole movie again and have it told from Ramona's point of view. I'd watch it. But I actually think that would be more interesting. I feel like she's also the more genuine person. The way they tell this film,
I also think she wouldn't lie as much.
They show that in this film. They show that here. It's like she's kind of more. I feel like I feel like this movie is set up, and we're basically getting the villain's point of view. Where it's like an interview with Lex Luthor. And Lex is going like, "What? No, I'm not a villain. I'm a hero. I'm the hero of this story." And you're like, but didn't you know?
Are the better stories, right, usually.
Usually. But at no point do we get pushback here. Like, to me, it would have been funny if we were getting the interview with Elizabeth and Constance in the present day with her telling with Destiny telling her side, and then you got the flashbacks to show you something completely different happening. Like, that's normally how that works, and that would have been made for a better movie.
That's exactly what this story needed. We needed the contradiction to what she was saying out her mouth. We didn't need the visual tone to follow in line with what she said. And that's where I agree with you on the cinematography. There were some times I needed to put that damn fisheye lens down.
Yeah.
But I liked the way that they kind of did. I mean, the early 2000s and the end of the 90s belonged to hype. So, you know, kind of giving you that Hype Williams feel was a good way to come into the club. But when they stepped outside the club, they didn't let some of the techniques and the light, and then there was a disconnect between what the light was telling you. But I really, truly think all of the shallowness in this story is because what she clicked onto for her narrative, and she wanted to make some feminist manifesto. I'm like, look.
But even then, she didn't do a good job. But even that, she didn't dig deep into enough.
She didn't talk to enough of them. She didn't give them enough time, if that's what she wanted.
Because at one point, like, they start off with the whole Wall Street guys, and we're just scamming them. But then that quickly kind of goes away, and you stop going, like, you don't know enough about the guys to feel like, oh yeah, this dude's a piece of shit. Take him for all he's got. Like, so you don't even get that. So even that aspect, I'd even be okay with that side. But even for that, I feel like they don't go hard enough down that path to even get that side of it. That whole, yeah, we were robbing the rich to give to ourselves, and we weren't rich.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they showed the guys being the worst and vile creatures they could, and that's why this movie kind of works for a lot of people.
But what doesn't work is they don't show why they picked what they get. I do get that. Like, they didn't show why this was the crew that did it and why it worked. We needed the behind the scenes. We needed to know about Mercedes' book, the dudes who she was calling and where she was calling and why they were so in. We needed to know those things and how Ramona picked who she picked. If they were going to make it look like she was out here trying to figure out who wanted to get chose, they should have gave us that. And I'm really mad. I just said it.
I mean, they did to an extent, though. It was a very simplistic explanation. That whole the shoe shit and everything else, that's all people going to need when they're watching this. They're going to be looking.
No, I'm not talking about the dudes. Like, I'm talking about the girls.
She worked with?
Yes. Like, they gave us little flashes of that. All the stuff that we're saying where they underutilize all these great stories and all these hints that are in the margins. If she wanted to tell her narrative within the way that she did not give us enough of the non-two main dominant stripper characters. So we didn't have enough of a rounded context for it really to feel like some Robin Hood shit. And if she really wanted to go in the way where you play, where we've moved on beyond that, she needed to stop trying to protect or stop trying to be faithful to the direction and perspective of the article, because everybody can see just from what she did give us. That's when Rosalind showed up. That's when Destiny's character needed to take a change. I mean, and I can't really say why, because I really want people to see this movie because I enjoyed it. But there's a moment in here where you realize this broad knows way more than she's saying. And Ramona is listening to her. She's taking her suggestions. She's taking her recommendations. If she vetoes something, for the most part, until they got into dire situations, vetoes stuck. So this wasn't an unequal partnership. So there comes a time when they needed to give us those things. And the director kept it shallow. And I think it's because she didn't know how to do it. She damn well didn't know how to write it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know what kind of research. I do know the suggestions on research,
man.
But like,
she
didn't do, like, if you're going to take this and you're going to do this kind of thing, she needed to talk to some drug dealers. She needed to talk to a lot of damn strippers.
Yeah. I just immediately could tell that they didn't dive deeper and go and interview and talk to other people. You can tell because you watch this movie and then go read the article. It's damn near verbatim word for word, man. Yeah, like,
read the article.
Like, she didn't dive deeper into none of this.
But read the article after you watch the movie, because I feel like, give the movie its due and let it do what it is and come up with your own impressions, and then go read the article and see if the areas that we're talking about or the things that we're saying strike you as right. And I don't care what anyone says. I think that even playing it safe, I think this is a better quality version of this movie than we usually get. And I think why people are really excited about it. 100%. But it could have been, this could have been a real freaking contender. And I mean, it's funny. Keke Palmer's funny, but it's got movement. There's just enough grime and grit and just confusion. You gonna come out. I don't care if you don't end up at Team Ramona at the end, at just the basic minimum of why the hell are you talking to the damn reporter? You will before you get halfway through the movie, even with the perspective that they give it to you from. And you're going to find yourself. I already know there's at least one line that Cardi B says relatively early in the movie in the strip club that someone is going to inappropriately quote in their life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she's funny.
Yeah,
and it works.
Out of 10, what would you guys give this film?
This is an 8 for me. I can't really give it more than that because I really wanted the crime story.
Brandon,
I'm at a 7. At 7, maybe a 7.5. I'm at a 7.
Yeah, I'm at a 7.5. Like I said, I think it's because there's so much more potential here, and again, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. Everybody's going to be enjoyable and really, really, really fucked with this film. But I think that had they made the changes that we've been talking about and put that more of the crime and grime in there, I think this film, by the time people are talking about award season now, by the time award season, it'll be forgettable. It'll be forgettable in a couple of weeks. I think that if they had gone the way we had talked about it, though, it would have been a more memorable film. At this point, it's a good film. You enjoy it. But I'm telling you, within 3 weeks, you're going to forget it. Just what it is. But go and watch the film. Go enjoy it. Support. I know I did enjoy it. Real quick, speaking of support, I do need everybody to do me a favor. Go into your iTunes or your Apple podcast and type in Movie Trailer Reviews. Find the feed for the Movie Trailer Reviews podcast, our podcast. Not the MTR Network one, the Movie Trailer Reviews one, the one that actually says on the logo, Movie Trailer Reviews, and give us a 5-star review. We're trying to get our reviews up. We need 200 reviews. I think right now we're just shy of 100. We're at like 92. We need 200 reviews so we can kind of submit to Rotten Tomatoes. And we do enough films, we do enough covers that we should be on Rotten Tomatoes as an outlet. So please go out there and do that. It doesn't take that long at all to do that. So, and you have to do it from your iPhone or from iTunes. I know some of you are saying, I don't use iPhones. I don't use iTunes. Sign up real quick to iTunes. Get an account. Do the review and then delete the shit from your phone. I don't care what you do afterwards. Just give us the reviews real quick, guys. We need it. Help. It'll help us. Help us out. It takes 2 seconds.
I mean, everybody's always complaining about Rotten Tomatoes always seeming like it's a whole bunch of stuck-up, pretentious people. And a part of the reason why that is because the outlets like ours, they make all these hoops we have to jump through to get in. And one of them is we need 200 reviews and they need to be as high as possible. So y'all like us. Help us out.
So if you do that, we can then resubmit hopefully by the end of the year. And make Movie Trailer Reviews official outlet. So, stay tuned, folks. We have a lot of reviews coming out. I know we have to do a review for The Goldfinch. We have to do a review for Ad Astra, and then Joy and I have like at least 2, maybe 3 films that we saw at TIFF that we're going to be doing reviews for, and we're going to hopefully be recording those this weekend. So, just stay tuned. There's plenty of stuff coming out, and we also have some stuff coming out on premium for this as well. I think there's the Peanut Butter Falcon review, and then there's also a spoiler review for Dark Crystal that I haven't put up yet. So stay tuned for all that, folks, and we'll get it out there. Again, folks, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.